Thank you, Jesus. I want to share a word with you as we end out our time for the next 20 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. We are in a season, we came into this year, and we're still talking about the year of unleashed power, potential, provision, and harvest. We've been talking about unleashed harvest. Unleashed harvest. Would you say that? Unleashed harvest. This morning, I want to focus on this thought, looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. Looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. We've been reading through the scriptures concerning the harvest. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he makes this particular statement concerning the times. He says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest." Matthew 9:35-38. The scripture says that Jesus is going about proclaiming the gospel, gospel meaning good news of the kingdom. He's talking about his kingdom. And as he's going about, he's looking at the condition of the people. He's looking at the condition of the people. The condition of the people. Say the condition of the people. And the reason why I want to focus on the condition of the people, because when I talk about looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life, I believe that the Lord wants to help us recognize the opportunities that are all around us all the time. We tend to, in church and church mentality, kind of set times for evangelism, set times for outreach. But the harvest is everywhere. The harvest is everywhere. As a matter of fact, as Jesus went about doing what he was doing, it says he was seeing the people. It says he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. And that's when he went on to say to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but pray for workers. Pray for those who will go out and get the harvest." Years ago, a gentleman by the name of Bill Hammond, prophet, apostle Bill Hammond, wrote a book called The Day of the Saints. And it's an incredible book that was prophetic in nature. And in his book, what he was talking about, Ray, is a day coming when every believer recognizes we're all called to manifest the kingdom. We're all called to win the lost. In his book, he chronicles the seasons of coming into, of seeing the establishing of pastors and teachers. Talked about the evangelists coming to the forefront. Some of you remember some of the evangelists. Of course, there was Billy Graham, but there's others that are out there that had big stadiums and gatherings. And many people came into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God through these huge gatherings. And they were basically starting to fulfill what it talks about in Ephesians, seeing those offices or those gifts set in place, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And then we came into the season, if you will, or dispensation of the prophets. So then there was the establishing of the prophetic ministry. And for a long season, you heard about the prophets, and then you heard about the apostles. And so in those gifts in operation now, if we were to go back and look at Ephesians, and let me just turn there real quick. I know it's a familiar passage, but it's worth turning to so we can say we read from the Bible. Hallelujah. So there in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, familiar passage of scripture, it says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. But speaking the truth in love, we are to mature. We are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper workings of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now, we've read that passage a lot. It's foundational. It should be foundational in the life of every believer. And it's foundational in this house as a kingdom mandated house. Because what it speaks to is through this process, Sandra, we come into maturity. We come into a place of growing up. And those gifts in operation produce that. Now, what that should do in any local assembly is equip you for the day of the saints. Meaning that through these gifts in operation, you mature, you grow. Now you're able to go out and accomplish what God has purposed to do through you as a mature believer. And when we talk about this being a season of unleashed harvest, I don't want us to live in a paradigm or a mindset that the harvest is about going out and witnessing, which we will do some of that in the community, and that's how souls come into the kingdom of God. No, it's on your job. It's in your community. Looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life is the manifestation of the day of the saints. Meaning that there are mature believers, as there are here in the room, who understand everywhere you go, the kingdom of God shows up. Everywhere you go, the kingdom of God is in existence. In Luke 17, 20 through 21, it says this. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, because here's the dynamic. Now, Jesus shows up, and Jesus is now manifesting the kingdom of God. But there's those around him that still think it's a natural kingdom. They're thinking that he's gathering his folk, his following, to overthrow and establish his kingdom. So they're asking questions like, well, when is your kingdom when is it going to come? His answer to them said this, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For the kingdom of God is in your midst. He's saying, my kingdom has already infiltrated every area. My kingdom came with me, and my kingdom is everywhere. Now, how is his kingdom manifested? Through the day of the saints. His kingdom is manifested everywhere. And see, this is important for us to get as well, because while we believe in the miraculous power of God with signs and wonders and miracles happening, that still is not the sum total of the kingdom of God in operation. What I love about the thought of the day of the saints is that we're here now so that you can be refreshed, so that you can be equipped, so that you can be healed, so that you can be delivered, so that you can be set in place when you leave here to go back out and manifest the kingdom of God. And so I want you to think about this. Harvest opportunities come as we are sensitive to his voice and our surroundings. We must listen for the need, the distress, the dispirited, the despondent ones, the depressed ones, the oppressed, so that when we are able to sense that, then you can recognize this is my opportunity. This is an opportunity for harvest. He will show us harvest opportunities if we are sensitive. You see, one of the dynamics that we don't really recognize is in play is found in 1 Corinthians. And I got about 5 more minutes, so we won't pick this up next week. But let me go to 1 Corinthians 3, and starting at, let's see, verse 1. I'm going to go restart at verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh and as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity," here we go, "to each one." Now, this is a key passage that I want us to get if we're going to be able to be sensitive to harvest opportunities. Because Paul goes on and he says this, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." Right. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. So if you and I can be sensitive to the fact that there will be seasons when you plant and that's all you do. See, this isn't go out and try to win as many people as you can so you can have a notch on your belt or another name that, you know, I won this person to Christ. I won this person to Christ. I won this person to Christ. No, that's not the way this works. And I believe in leading people into prayer of salvation. But I believe even more so in the work, the Holy Spirit working in the heart of someone that brings them to a place of repentance where they're ready to change. That's what repent means. That's what repent means. Okay? So we can pray a prayer of faith and a prayer of salvation, and that's great, and believe. But what this word I'm talking about here is, and you and I being sensitive to harvest opportunities is, who is it in your world right now? Who is it on your job that God has used someone else to plant a seed in them? That God has used some circumstances to water that seed and they're ready for harvest now. And it's just your conversation. It is God showing you their heart. God showing you they're ready and you're able to now introduce them to the Lord and see them come into the kingdom of God. Is this making sense to you? Yes. See, unleashed harvest, the least about unleashed harvest is the stuff you and I think is coming to us. Okay? Yes. That's a given. I'm talking about the day of the saints. I'm talking about you being equipped and being Holy Spirit sensitive that he can speak to you and tell you, sow a seed. Speak a word of kindness. Speak a word of love. Share my goodness in your life with them and help them to know the same goodness in your life is available for their lives. Just sow the seed. There's harvest all around us, y'all. We can't get distracted by the dumb stuff. We can't get distracted and miss the opportunity because we're distracted by the same stuff everybody else is distracted by. Pastor Marisa would tell me about one of her coworkers from India. I think her, Fasuda? Yeah, she talked about her so much, I know her name, Fasuda. And Fasuda was, what was her religion she practiced? All the different ones. Worship every God. She's from India, so they worship, yeah. But every opportunity, she kept planting seed through conversation. Planting seed through asking questions. See, sometimes, hear me now, in this season of harvest, sometimes it's less about you talking and asking questions. I'm talking strategies now. Oh, really? That's what you believe? Well, tell me more about that. Because you know what? Sometimes you can get somebody talking, and what they start saying after a while, they realize it's crazy. You ain't even got to say anything. They'll realize, man, this sounds, and I'm talking, it's coming out my mouth. I need to shut, this is crazy. Looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. Harvest opportunities come as we are sensitive to his voice and our surroundings. We must listen to the need. We must listen to the heart. We must be discerning of what's behind what's being said and what's being done. When Jesus sent out the 12 in Luke 9 through 1 through 6, he said it gave them power and authority. Gave them power and authority. As kingdom citizens, you and I have access to that power, that authority. As a matter of fact, you have to begin to see yourself as qualified and authorized. I am qualified and I'm authorized. You ever see one of them Western movies where the sheriff deputizes somebody because he needs some help? And he gets a badge out the drawer. Come here. I now deputize you and puts the badge on him. That badge says they got power and they got authority. You got power and you got authority. The enemy hopes you never recognize that level, that you are qualified and you are authorized. We are qualified and authorized. When Jesus sent out the 12, later sending out the 70, he said the same thing to them. He said, when you go, I like how the King James said it, take nothing for your journey. Y'all heard that statement before? It just sounds, take nothing for your journey. I mean, baby, don't take anything with you. But I just like to say that, take nothing for your journey. What was he saying to him? He's saying, trust me. He's saying, trust God, trust my Father, and let me show you how the kingdom works. I'll say it till I leave here, and I'll probably say it a couple times when I get to glory. There is no lack in the kingdom. There's no lack in the kingdom. And God would that we would get that. Our Father said, get that. Operate out of my kingdom, not out of your church. Operate out of my kingdom, not your church mentality. Operate out of my kingdom, not out of religion and tradition, because all of that will always come up short. And there must be, hear me now, and then I'm done for now. There must be tangible, physical representation that the kingdom of God is inclusive of every need, powerful to break every stronghold, and to set captives free. That should be tangible in our lives. It should be tangible in your life. You are qualified. You are authorized. It should be tangible in your speech. There should be something different about the way you talk. I'm not talking about Christian ease. I'm saying just the very timbre of your voice has some authority in it because you're qualified and you're authorized. There should be something about the way that you and I just relate to people that causes them to feel like something is different about you. It's the same thing that we see with Peter. As much as Peter wanted to deny Christ, he couldn't do it. He was with him just a little too long. Just a little too long, couldn't shake it. Then he went to profanity to try to throw him off. No, you couldn't even cuss right. That word didn't even pronounce like that. I'm done. I'm sorry. I just got a flash of one of my childhood experiences when I was trying to fit in and I said some crazy stuff. Come on, y'all know how we can do it. You're trying to fit in and you say something, you know it didn't even sound right coming out your mouth because it ain't you. Look for harvesting opportunities. They're all around us. They're all around us. Even as God is unleashing harvest to us, for us, to flow through us. If this word has helped you, would you thank the Lord for it right now?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.